Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
The Triple M Sunday Simbi.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Well, welcome back to it. Rabbitohs 26, Tigers 24, Manly 32, Dogs 20, Penrith 20, Parramatta 2, Raiders 37, Dragons 8, Roosters 42, Knights 12, Titans 18, Broncos 6. We can confirm it's the first time a Gold Coast team of any sport have won three in a row since the 1924 Ladies Coits beat Coomera in the final. So fantastic. Fantastic news.
And fabricating information.
Those scores all thanks to Tyre Power. Get $150 cash back on selected BF Goodrich tyres. Boys, we haven't spoken about this. Hoops and Gordy. Anthony Griffin has been appointed coach of the St. George Illawarra Dragons. 2 years with a three-year option. Gordy, to bring you back into this, mate, it would seem to me some sensible bargaining or a sensible amount of time in that contract. 2 years with a one-year option. That's a sensible contract.
Yeah, I think, you know, a year to clean out the rubbish and, you know, and obviously the second year to show some improvement. And a bit like Holbrook and your poll the other week was about that. And I think, you know, the way the Titans have played, I think it's justified. You know, you want your coach to be hungry. You want him to be coaching for his future and you want your players to be coaching for the future. And I think it's a, you know, he's an old head hook at the Broncos. I think they were in the top eight when he got moved on, and Penrith, from memory, were in the top four all year or sitting around fifth or fourth for the whole year when he got moved on. So he's a pretty successful coach, Hook, and he's assistant coach at Origin level when I was playing a long time ago. So he's been around a long time, and he deserves another opportunity.
Seems to Hoops with Hook, with Anthony Griffin, you will get, you know that I feel like Hook will be a success at the Dragons, as Gordy said, and he brings in a couple. I mean, you saw the Dragons yesterday. That's a fifth game from six they've lost at Wynn Stadium in Wollongong. Some changes need to be made there long term.
Yeah, clearly the Dragons are in need of a shake-up. So the roster, the way I see it, is a decent roster. It's a roster absolutely capable of making the finals. But for whatever reason, there's some cracks in the system, and I think a new face, a fresh voice, an independent person, an independent set of eyes. Because this is where the Dragons have fallen over in recent seasons, is there's been this mentality that it's a sheltered workshop and it's an old boys club. So whether it was Nathan Brown many, many years ago, then they got Wayne in. Wayne led them to the promised land. They won a premiership. They hadn't won one since 1979. Then they went with Steve Price, ex-St. George old boy. Then they went with Mary McGregor, ex-Illawarra, and then St. George Illawarra old boy. If they had gone with Dean Young as well, I feel as though the outside perception would have been that they were just, to borrow one of Dean's lines from after that loss, it's the same thing, different day.
Yeah.
They were going to go, they were going down the same road. So I think the Anthony Griffin appointment allows St. George Illawarra as a club to have an independent, fresh set of eyes come in and tell the joint what they need to fix, because clearly there are some cracks in the system.
Okay. Gordy, what about in the areas of recruitment? Where do you think they lack, the Dragons? Where do you think they need to bolster?
I think everywhere. Well, their forward pack needs to be strengthened. Well, they lost Frizzell. I think Lomax is a good player. I think their halves. I think Ben Hunt is a genuine hooker. You know, I think we've seen that Cam McInnes is a bloody good number 13. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and I think that at a pinch he can play number nine, but I think Ben Hunt will be the guy that will probably play nine. And I think Corey Norman, for some reason, shows you glimpses, but never 2 weeks in a row, a month in a row, play out a really good season. So they need someone in the half, so they're going to steer this side around.
Gordy,
get them to where they want to be.
As brutal as this sounds, if I was Anthony Griffin, I reckon one of the first things I would do would be sit Corey Norman down and say, thank you very much for your services, but we're going in a different direction.
Right.
And he's still got 12 months to run, and he's still on big money. But, you know, it's been a long time since we've seen Corey consistently have an influence on a side that is going to play finals football and consistently put together form that warrants being one of the highest paid players in a team.
But then when you do that, who are you getting to play six?
you find a way around it.
Mm-hmm.
They've got young Clune in there at the moment. There's always other options.
Mm. Okay.
Maybe they go and buy a Kieran Foran.
Yeah.
Maybe they go and do something else.
Do you feel, I raised this issue yesterday, do you feel, Hoops, that these joint venture sides, they've got problems all their own. They maybe encounter problems that other teams don't encounter.
Yeah, they are unique in that sense, Anthony. I think I've spoken about it previously. Look, the West Tigers have had all sorts of issues over the course of the history of the club since they merged, since they became a joint venture. And as much as they had that one rainbow moment where they were able to ride the roller coaster all the way to the 2005 Premiership, aside from that, it's been pretty slim pickings. One of the worst decisions they ever made was moving Tim Sheens on when he was the head coach of the club. He'd had them humming along nicely and in the finals, and a lot of people were predicting that they were, you know, in a premiership window and due to win another title sooner rather than later. But the club made a hard line call and moved Tim Sheens on. And then since then, they've been searching for the right person. Hopefully they've found him now in Michael Maguire, but there's obviously been a lot of stories over the course of the last couple of months that he's finding there is some friction and some pushback within the playing group. Hopefully they can iron all that out and he can be the right coach. But you're right in relation to your question, Anthony, about joint venture clubs. Like, you look at the Dragons. So the Dragons are still very much split along St. George and Illawarra voting lines. Even though the Wind Corporation has come in and taken a 50% ownership of the club, there is still a split board. There's four directors from St. George, appointed by St. George, and there's four directors who are Wind Corp appointments, but essentially they're the Illawarra side of the board. Then you've got the CEO, who's in the middle of all of that. So there's still some old school, deep-seated, long-standing politics involved, and that can be hard at times for joint ventures to grow. Again, you know, you go back to when the Dragons had that window of success. They were the benchmark side in the competition when they went outside, got an external coach, brought in one of the best coaches in the business in Wayne, and he was able to lead them to their first premiership since 1979.
Okay. So go, Gordy.
Yeah, Is Madge one of those coaches a bit like Wayne Bennett where they don't rebuild? They got to come in when the squad's ready to win?
Yeah, it's a good question. A lot of people have been asking that lately, Gordon. I think he's better if the best situation for Madge is if, like what happened at Souths, where he's got a roster with great senior players in the likes of Sam Burgess, Greg Inglis, Ben Teo, seasoned campaigners, and then he's got a sprinkling of, you know, young guns also coming through and really starting to breathe.
Sam Burgess is the key. Do you know what? Sam 100%. Burgess is not only the greatest winner, like, of bringing guys together. There's Alan Langer, and I put Sam Burgess in his category.
Wow.
To the point where Souths were just sitting around, they were idling. He went from Fox Sports, went back into the bubble.
Yep.
And they started playing some decent, tough footy again. I think he's that important to be around an organisation. He brings guys together. And I thought, you know, Madge going to the Tigers, I thought he'd give them the tough edge. And, yes, he's asked them, and I reckon now the club know who's been taking the mickey out of them or not and who's really wanting to play for their pay packet. I think he's that coach. But, you know, and because he can't move the roster around as quick, you can't move the roster around as quick as you used to. You know, like, it's not the Roosters.
That's it.
You know, mate, like, they just seem to get whoever they want when they want. And the Tigers have got to shuffle their deck chairs around, and he just can't to get the right players there that want to win.
Well, the fortuitous thing for the Chooks at the moment is they're winning, Gordon. Like, they're chasing a third consecutive title. Yeah. We haven't seen a team do it since the Eels in the early
80s. They've got the best roster.
This is what I mean. And the byproduct of that is that players want to go to your club. Mm. You know, existing players like James Tedesco and Luke Keary. We've seen Luke Keary recently extend his tenure with the Chooks. They don't want to go anywhere. They want to stay because you're being part of a winning culture.
Yes, a dynasty.
Yes.
Do you know what? And I said it about Brisbane. Like, it's players and knowing what they bring to an organisation.
Boys,
there's no way Fifita was going to stay for 700,000 at Brisbane, right? And I think they offered him 900.
Well, they thought he was initially, is the interesting thing, Gordy. They thought he was because they still thought that they had
the whip hand. No, because I think the deal was 900. It wasn't 700. That's what was reported.
Okay.
You go to Tedesco, there's no way he can stay at the Roosters for 1.2 because he's going to get way more. You can't tell me the Dogs would pay. Yeah. But you can't tell me the Dogs or the Tigers or someone would pay.
But would you not be prepared? You're still talking about big bickies. Would you not be prepared to stay for $1.2 million per season to be part of an organisation where you've already won two comps?
But he's ticked that box.
But is it all just about money? Is money everything? Like when you're earning that much money anyway. Anthony, we should bring you in here.
Yeah, go on.
Yeah,
you're the king of cash.
Well, if I was Tedesco, I wouldn't be going from off 1.2 to play for the Roosters to even 1.6 to play for the Dogs. I mean, this is what I was thinking with Luttrell. I mean, before he signed with South, why would you want to leave an organisation where you're part of a dynasty and you're playing Origin? Money, it's not all about money. That's the way I've always looked at it. We'll take a break and come back with more after this as Triple M rocks the footy.
Sunday Simbi.
Nice to be with you on a Sunday afternoon.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to the Sin Bin. Thanks to our mates at Bryden's Lawyers. If you have a legal inquiry, get in touch with the best. They commit, protect and succeed. We're half an hour away from Melbourne v Cowboys. Now, boys, before we go any further, we played an interview earlier on. Ricky Stewart, the Raiders coach, he's always a great interview and a great mate of the blokes here on the panel. He was talking about the Curtis Scott situation. If you missed it earlier, here's Ricky Stewart.
Rick, it's been a big week for the club with the Curtis Scott stuff. Can you just take us through how the week unfolded for you?
Yeah, well, it was probably we knew it was always coming, the court case, so that was no surprise to the schedule. But it was more the intrigue and the opportunity in seeing the vision, Kenny. You know, the first thing I spoke to Curtis about was, mate, you'll get support here, but you need to be honest. And he has been very honest from day one. And, you know, we can't sit and point blame at the kid in regards to the situation he got himself into, because he's very hard on himself and knows he shouldn't have been there in that position. But he's not the only bloke to ever got drunk and fell asleep under a tree. So we've got to understand that. But he's embarrassed about the fact that that happened. He was new to the club and he put himself in a really poor position. So he was also a little bit unaware. He hadn't seen the vision either. You've got to be known to that. He hadn't seen the vision until last Tuesday evening. And he went to Sydney not knowing which way he was going to go with his legal team in the direction and the advice he was going to give them. Once he saw the video, he took the advice of his legal team to pursue the matter. And, you know, the rest is obviously now public knowledge. But it's... I can see why it's been such a weighing on his mind so heavily over the course of the last 9 months. And, you know, I've made some comments through the week and I stand by the comment, but, you know, we'll leave it now and we've got to move forward. We've got to get Curtis back to where he was playing. And I feel this has taken a real hit to Curtis's ability over the course of the season, because he probably hasn't played to the quality of football consistently that he can. And, you know, he's had a couple of injuries throughout the season and he's had a disrupted year. So I'm hoping going into the back end of the season, he can have a fair weight lifted off his mind. He can just get back to thinking about what he loves doing, and that's playing footy.
Yeah, and certainly his confidence seemed affected. So I imagine it'd be almost like getting a new player to the club right now, given that the weight that's been lifted from him.
Yeah, and it's... really, like, we spoke to him when he came back into the bubble here with us on Friday, that he did his press statement, his media, and it was, you know, it's really important that he just takes it now and in a humble way, leaves it where it is, and thinks about preparing for a game of footy. He's just got to now enjoy the load off his mind, and I feel I can see that, Paul, that. You can see a freshness in his eyes and his way he's handling himself at the moment. You can just there's no added attention to him now in regards to what could be, because he knew that if he had done the wrong thing that his career here was over. But fortunately, which is great news, that it's not the case.
Okay, that's Ricky Stewart speaking to us earlier on Triple M Sunday Sinbin. Hoops is in the studio, so too is the great Gordy Tallis, and Nathan Brown will be calling the game this afternoon between the Cowboys and Melbourne, so we might get him in very soon. Just before we do, though, boys, that Parramatta game the other night, Hoops, we might take a break and come back and we'll chat about that Parramatta game where Penrith beat them 20-2. The score did blow out a little bit at the end, but we'll talk about that shortly as Triple M rocks the footy.
McDonald's. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. It's the Sunday Sin Bin, 22 minutes away from Dan calling that game this afternoon. Melbourne Cowboys should be a good game with Gordy Tallis, James Triceps Hooper, and of course one of Triple M's favourites at the moment, Nathan Brown. Brownie, welcome.
Maroon, how are you, pal?
Good, mate. Good. I tell you, you're coaching the Warriors, obviously, next year. Everybody knows that. But, by geez, they're a spirited side at the moment, aren't they?
Yeah, no, they've definitely used being added. It's made some sort of advantage that haven't, obviously, with Steve departing and little, you know, the change of coach, and Steve was obviously quite popular amongst the playing group, so they had a few setbacks, and then obviously with families not being able to get in, and probably people, they probably talk about the players a lot, but the ones that are, you know, apart from Roger, I think guys that have families either went home or their families got out here, but, you know, all the staff have got, a lot of the staff have young children, and they haven't seen their kids for a long, long time now, so... You know, hats off to a lot of the staff that are actually from New Zealand whose families can't come out because, you know, the group's obviously doing well, but, you know, you need all your coaches to be and all your staff on site as well, and then they're the ones that are probably doing it tougher than most.
And we're still sort of umming and ahhing, are we, Brownie, as to where the Warriors will be next year?
Yeah, no, further down the path there, really. Marin should know in the next couple of weeks, I reckon.
Okay.
Talking to Cameron George, the CEO, the other day, sort of regular contact with him. And I'm pretty confident that, you know, within the next sort of 2 to 4 weeks, we'll have sort of a rough idea of at least of if we are in Australia, this is where we'll be. And if we're not in Australia, obviously we'll be in New Zealand. But, you know, whether the border's going to open or there's going to be a travel bubble between Auckland and Australia, all this sort of stuff, you need to talk to people much, much higher up the food chain than me, them, Aaron.
Yeah. Well, mate, what about I would have hoped to have had you here a little bit earlier. We're talking about the appointment of Anthony Griffin as a Dragons coach. How do you see that appointment, and what do you think the Dragons would be looking for from Hook?
Oh, look, I think it's a great appointment. I think, you know, they certainly needed a coach in there with experience. You know, Hook brought a lot of young kids through at Brisbane when he took over the Broncos, and that side sort of went on when Wayne went back and went within, you know, 1 second of winning a grand final. Then he went to Penrith, obviously, and played a part in the development of a lot of good young players there, and that's probably where, you know, the Dragons aren't a club. History will tell you the Dragons aren't a club that buy big name players. They develop their own big name players, and, you know, the club probably in the past sort of 10 or so years probably haven't developed as many as what they did for the previous sort of 25 years, and you know, finding the groove back there is the key to the Dragons being successful again, and I think Hook will put a lot of things in place to help that happen.
Okay.
That's make a good point there, Brownie, in that you go back to when you were coaching that champion Dragon side and you had Jason Rolls and Trent Barrett and Luke Bailey and Matt Cooper and Mark Gasnier. Like, it was a real procession line, wasn't it? But in more recent times, yeah. Zach Lomax, Dufty, but we haven't quite seen...
No, we sort of say, well, when we went there, when I was there early and Brian Smith was there, there was obviously Steve-O, Gordy, Chock Mundine. Like, these are higher-end players, aren't they? You know, yeah. And then... Obviously, we had the Gazzers and Trent Barrett. Then we had the Dean Youngs, Matty Heads, Wes Naguamas, the Morris boys, Benny Cray. They come through as the next batch.
Yep.
And that's when St. George are good, you know, because St. George aren't a club. You know, there's limited clubs that can buy high-profile players in. There's only probably two or three, history tells you, that generally the ones that are in that sort of, that type of club to get them. And for the Dragons to get back to where, obviously, we'd all like to see him. That's going to come from the development of the juniors, you know.
Okay, Brownie, we haven't had a chance, Hoops and Gordy, to talk about the Penrith Parramatta game the other night, which finished Penrith 20-2. It blew out a little bit at the end, but Parramatta seem to be, Brownie, at the moment on a little bit of shaky ground.
Yeah, they've definitely got the wobbles. Their form in the past 6 weeks hasn't been where it was earlier in the year, but we have seen sides before go through this at the back end of years and come good and go on to win premierships, but they need to find a good performance. Like before the semi started, so I would have thought they'll probably be cannon fodder for the top liners, you know, if they don't. But, you know, I have seen sides over here. I saw, you know, I think North Queensland lost a sort of chunk of games not coming into the semis. I've seen Melbourne Storm one time lose five in a row, and then and Bellout got them going. They won the comp. So it isn't uncommon, but I think Brad Arthur would like to see a good, solid victory in the next week or two to give them confidence.
Brisbane did it in 2006. I think they lost five games leading into the finals, yeah. And then they clicked into gear. But I think the issue with the Eels at the moment from an outside point of view, Brownie, look, no Reid Marnie and no Dylan Brown against the Panthers, but they just seem on tilt in relation to their attack. Like, they've lost a lot of their punch. You go back to when they were really, putting scores on teams earlier in the year, and there's a bit of a theory that they can be flat track bullies. Like, they're great front runners. They score early and they get a roll on, and, you know, they can be a real juggernaut. But at the moment, as good as their scrambling defense was against the Panthers, and as long as they held them out on their own line for long periods, they still missed 44 tackles for the whole game. And a couple of weeks earlier, they lost the game. They missed 55 tackles, I think it was, which is more tackles than any other side's missed in a single game this season. They've lost.
Their forward pack's gone missing.
Mm.
Seriously, like, we're dancing around it. When they were on top of the table and they were scoring forward, mate, Paulo, the Regan Campbell-Gillard, mate, he scored a try from 50 metres out. Yeah. They were running through sides. They were bullying sides. They were beating them up. Reid Marnie was getting out of dummy half, and they were playing off the front foot because their forwards gave them the front foot. They laid the platform, and it was as simple as that. And then there's only been two, and I'm saying two, halves that I've ever seen that can win when their forward pack was a little popgun forward pack, and that was Wally Lewis at Origin when he'd take on Queensland, and he had Wally Fulton-Smith and Brian Niebling and those blokes taking on Peter Tunks and Ian Roberts and the guys and all that, and Wally Lewis could play off anything, and Andrew Johns. His forward pack didn't have to dominate for Joey to have an impact on the game. But Parramatta, mate, it comes down to their forwards. Mate, they got a great forward pack. They're tough. And when they bully the opposition and they come out, they play with that enthusiasm and they go forward, Parramatta win games of footy and they win them easy.
Okay. Do you still think, boys, Brownie, do you think Parramatta can win the premiership?
At the moment, you would say no. But at their best, when they were playing early in the year, you would have given them a really good hope, you know. So, and I mean, Dylan Brown, I'm not sure where his injury's at.
Indefinite, which is a problem, isn't it?
Yeah,
stage of the year, like when you're putting that time frame on something this close to the finals.
Yeah, a very important player from you, because he obviously takes pressure off Mitchell Moses, and it puts a lot of pressure on Mitchell Moses, and sides are going to go for Mitchell hard, aren't they? Especially if he hasn't got his sort of bit of foil there. So full strength, playing at their best. You know, they're in the top four for a reason, aren't they? But the way they're playing at the moment, and without Dylan Brown, you'd say no at the minute.
Hey, Brownie, you coached Jared Mullen at Newcastle. Now there's this talk that Jared Mullen wants back into the NRL. It'd be a massive redemption story, so many years out of the game, and a few other issues as well.
Yeah, look, Jared Mullen's he's a kind-hearted kid. He's a person who obviously made a couple of bad mistakes, which, you know, these things happen in life.
Yeah, we all have.
Yeah, plenty of, we've all been involved or seen people or whatever that's made some bad mistakes. But he's a decent kid, you know. He's a decent person, and I'd love to see him be able to come back and play some footy, you know, because four years away from having something that he'd probably done since he was a very, very little fella is a long time, and you're a long time retired, you know, so I'd love to see him be able to come back and get to a level where he could play professionally again. It'd be a great story. And people like Jared that have gone down that path and made the mistakes that then turn their life around, they're the best ones to talk to the next crop of young kids coming through, you know, because if someone talks to them who's never done the things that Jared's done, you know, some of the younger ones these days, well, they sort of look at them a bit different. But if it's someone who's actually, you know, made good on the back of some mistakes, I find those people, you know, can help the younger generation a lot better.
And there's this train of thought, though, obviously he's going to need some sort of a path back into the NRL. So we need to get, you know, Intra-Super Cup up and running again in New South Wales or Queensland, or, you know, maybe that's his only road in.
Well, that'd be his starting point, wouldn't it? I would have thought, you know, starting there would be his starting point. And he's a very, very fit kid, Jared. He's always looked after himself. Yeah, you know, he's always been a very, very hard trainer, you know. So I got no doubt that he could get his fitness levels up. It's just whether he can get the timing and all those type of things at his age going. But an intra Super Cup reserve grade somewhere like that's a great starting point, and that's important for not only for Jared Mullen a great redemption story, but it's also important. There's a lot of players out there at the moment who aren't playing, and if they're not playing, clubs can't see them. So there's a lot of unknown out there at the moment, and a lot of players that could get lost to the game because we don't have that competition up and running.
Yeah, you'd imagine that's causing a lot of frustration and some depression, all that downtime for a couple of these young kids.
Well, the bubbles as well, Anthony, you know, like all the teams and all the players have had to make that many sacrifices living within the bubbles. And we've seen at times, you know, people have made innocent mistakes, and at other times they've blatantly done the wrong thing and ended up getting punished as a result for it. But everybody that you talk to in the game, certainly having those restrictions, whereas you and I can go to a cafe, get takeaways, whatever we feel like doing, it hasn't been that way for all of the NRL players this season, and it has been an unforeseen and unknown challenge.
Okay, boys, we'll take a break before we do Maroons poll for today. Do you believe the Raiders can make the grand final from outside the four? Yes or no? I believe they can make the grand final from outside the four. Triple M NRL Facebook or at @MMNRL. We'll come back with the results very shortly as Triple M rocks the footy.
Thanks to McDonald's.
Welcome back to it. Sunday Sin Bin. 9 minutes left before we hand over to this man, Dan Ganane, for the call of today's game between Cowboys and Melbourne. How are you, old
Hello,
mate?
Hello, Maroon. Is this mic on?
Here we go. Yeah, that one's on. That's testing. Yeah.
Okay, I can't hear myself, but we'll continue.
Right.
Lovely to be here.
Yeah.
Now the mic isn't on.
No, it's definitely on.
I'm just going to take Hoops' mic. Now that one's on there. Hello, Gordy. Hello, Hoops. Hello, Maroon.
How are you, mate?
I love Ricky Stewart's quote. You know, Curtis Scott's not the first bloke to get drunk and sleep under a tree. I mean, is there anything more rugby league than that? And he's 100% right. No, We've all done it.
Yes.
But I've got to point out the promise that you made, Maroon.
Right.
The five in a row, and you'll get a sex change.
Oh, that five in a row. Right, yes, right.
Right. I've got an idea. Hoops, I think you'll like this. So they got Manly next week.
Right.
That's winnable. We all agree. That's 50-50 at worst. Mm-hmm. They could win that.
Yep.
Their final game... Did we work out who it was against? Whoever it is.
It's Newcastle.
Okay.
Newcastle up at the Titan Stadium.
Yeah.
Friday, 6 p.m. game. Now, Gaia and Girdler need to have their freshen up. Hooper's had his freshen up. Gordy's had his freshen up. Why don't you get a freshen up, by the way?
I know, mate. But Dan, even if they offer...
He doesn't get a freshen up because station management have confirmed he's on match payments. He's on a pay-for-play.
Oh, so you don't want to get freshen up?
They said his life is somewhat of a holiday as well. He only works half a day, a couple of days a week.
But listen, Hoops, the issue of how and when I get paid is not... your business.
Well, I haven't brought it up.
You
Anthony.
Have. You bring it
I
up haven't. Every time.
I'm being asked about it. I'm answering anyway, the question.
Okay, so here's my idea. It's a 6 p.m. game. I think if it comes down, that's the sex change game, Friday, 6 p.m.
The sex change cup.
That we give Girdler and Guy a rest and the call team for that game, because you're calling it, Kent, Hooper, Tallis, calling it with Maroon with a sex change on the line.
Well, mate, first of all...
Are you in the Hooper? It's extra work.
We'll get Dr. Oz on the sideline.
The sex change cup. I'm in.
But, boys, first of all, I said that was the issue was coming out of COVID. They don't have the whole year.
They don't have the rest of their history. Try this ifs
the
and
sex change
and
shield.
Stuff again.
Well, so we like your idea, Dan, but unfortunately, whatever happens, I will not be having a sex change. Or getting breast implants or anything like that.
Well, I think secretly you didn't mind the idea of breast implants.
Well, they're getting big enough as it is, Dan. All the chicken I'm eating.
How are you, Gordy?
Yeah, good, mate. Yourself?
Oh, mate, I'm flying. It'd be nice to see you one of these days. Look at him wearing his Titans bloody tracksuit.
He's the greatest.
He's never worn Titans apparel until they started winning.
Hold on. I've worn it when we lost three in a row.
Okay.
And then
well, that would have been a few
little
times.
Bugger lugs here. Oh, Billie Jean King. The only thing different is Maroon's got a necklace on, right? Is the pearl necklace has bagged me all the time. So I wear the Titans gear every weekend because this studio is quite quite cold.
Okay. Right. So when you look at me like that, I'm not going to disagree.
No,
yeah.
Thank you. Thank
anyway,
you, Dan.
Anyway, okay. That's it. I just wanted to say that was
that's
my idea.
That's a great idea. It's a great idea.
My ideas don't get through anymore. I texted the boss something about 3 months ago. I'm still waiting for a reply. So I wouldn't worry about my idea getting Hoops of Shammy Billie Jean King. It's not bad.
I look nothing like Billie Jean King Hoops.
Nothing like her.
Nothing
like her.
You just
need to dye your hair chestnut. You're a dead set ringer.
Mate, Hoops, don't try and bring Dan into your bullying. Because you're a bully.
To come in,
he,
Anthony.
I got here specifically early. I normally get here 5 minutes before. Sex change. Ken will do it. Yeah. Hooper will do it.
I'm having that night. That's my night. I'm having a rest.
No. You're the lead caller.
Boys, have a good call, right. Dan.
Thank you, boys.
And Hoops, we'll see you on NRL tonight on Fox League.
Yes, mate.
Gordy, we'll see you through the week as well.
6 o'clock tonight. And calling the second game for the M's.
Good on you, mate. Good to catch up with you too.
Cheers, guys.
Thanks to our mates at Bryden's Lawyers. All those scores too are thanks to Tyre Power. Up next, Dan Ginnane leads the call team. It's a big game today. It's Melbourne versus the Cowboys, thanks to Ream and Maccas. And then, of course, the following game, we'll have Sharks Warriors. Triple M going to rock the finals too.
The Ream Hot Water. Triple M rocks footy. Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot, and strong. Install a Ream.